You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Good morning. If you were here last week, you remember that Pastor John had you sing a song. Now, I have been teaching the children that all of us have different gifts. One of my gifts is not singing or in any way music, so I have asked coerced my friend Andrew, to leading you in the song this week. So, Andrew, it's your turn.
So let's repeat after me for the first time, make sure you got it, and then we'll do the round. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Got that together. Good. And then we sing the second part. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice.
Good. You sing both those twice, and then we do it again. Okay? Stephanie, she'll do that side. Together. Okay? All right. All right. So wait two times, and then you begin.
All right.
Ready together? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice.
And again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Wonderful, thank you.
By the time we finish this sermon on Philippians, we'll have it down. Good morning, I'm Kathy Cannon, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my honor to be able to deliver the message this morning. Pastor John is here, hi John, and that always makes me nervous. But that's the way it is. Okay. So this is a season of graduations. Every morning on the news, they have another clip of some famous person saying something very motivational and inspirational to hopeful grads. Last week, I had several families here at the church share with me that their child had graduated or been promoted to another level of education, and one of the dads had tears in his eyes. And then this week, I was able to watch the preschoolers here at our United Methodist preschool graduate. You know, they wear little caps now. It's just the cutest thing in the whole wide world. And they walked across our makeshift stage, and they were so excited about moving on. But, you know, some of them were a little sad, too, because they knew that they weren't going to be here at the preschool anymore. But at each graduation, as you know, whether it's for the little ones or college grads, inspirational words are said. So we're going to play a game this morning. I'm going to read a quote, and it's either from the Bible, and I'm using the easy-to-read version. If Ralph were here, he would roll over in his grave. But the easy-to-read version, just because it's a little trickier for you. And I'm going to take an excerpt from some graduation speeches, and you guys decide, is it Jesus or God, or is it a graduation speech? Okay, you ready? Take action. You have a choice. You can either be a passive victim of circumstance, or you can be the active hero of your own life. God or graduation? Okay, it was graduation. Don't be afraid of fear, because it sharpens you. It challenges you. It makes you stronger. God or graduation? Graduation. Okay. I'm having fun. Okay. Remember, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid. Be courageous wherever you go. God, graduation. God, that's right. The odds were, weren't they? Okay. You will have failures in your life, but it is what you do during those valleys that will determine the heights of your peaks. God, graduation. Graduation, that is exactly right. Okay. My last one. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. God, graduation. God, all right. But it was hard to tell sometimes, wasn't it? And this made me think about this week. Is that what our Bible is? A bunch of commencement type recommendations and suggestions about how we should live our lives? Do we fill our lives as Christians with random verses from the Bible meant to motivate us and keep us going? Is our God an entity who either lays down the law, like the Ten Commandments or the Book of Leviticus, or inspires the apostles and writers such as Paul to give us solid advice that we choose to take or not and often forget right when we leave church? I hope you feel that this isn't the whole entity of what the Bible and church is about. How many times has someone who knows you go to church, or for me, knows I'm a pastor, ask me to pray for them when they are facing tough times, even if they don't believe in God? Are they hedging their bets, covering their bases, playing all the cards they have? Perhaps. Are they looking for a commencement type answer to prayer? And when they don't receive it, my worry is this more fuel for their disbelief? Last week, a friend of mine who's going through some great adversity in her life called me and asked me to provide for her a list of positive Bible verses that she could read. And of course, I gave them to her. And I'm going to be really honest to tell you that I Googled them. Okay? I Googled them. Because it was so accessible to put down positive Bible verses that make you feel good. And Google was there for me. Now, a better person would have told her to Google it, but I wanted her to think I did all this work. So anyway. But my life is not a continuous commencement speech. My life is a mess, and it's full of really tough things, and I know some of you have that similar life. I don't believe the Bible is just a bunch of pithy sayings that we can and should bring out when we're under stress or when we're facing adversity, because the Bible is the story of God. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's our story. The Bible and the church. That's our story if we take the time to be part of it. And so this morning, I want to read Philippians again, but I'm going to read it once again in the easy-to-read version. Just be sure you live as God's people in a way that honors the good news of Jesus. Then, if I come and visit you, or I am away from you, I will hear good things about you. I will know that you stand together with the same purpose, and that you work together like a team to help others believe the good news. And you will not be afraid of those who are against you. All of this is proof from God that you are being saved and your enemies will be lost. God has blessed you in ways to serve Christ. He allowed you to believe in Christ. But that's not all. He has also given you the honor of suffering for Christ. Both of these bring glory to Christ. You saw the difficulties I had to face, and you hear the ones that I still have. So I want to remind you what John told us last week about the book of Philippians. I also want to remind you that if you're not here on Sunday, that we do have a podcast and you can listen to the sermon every week. And I often am not in here, that's how I hear the sermons. And it's really a nice way to listen to them or to, if you think you missed something, to catch up on them. Anyway, last week John told us that this is a letter or an epistle written by Paul to the church he founded in Philippi. It's our authorship. Unlike other books in the Bible, is not disputed. And when you read it, you're going to find it's filled with joy and encouragement and a little parental pride that Paul had in the church because he founded this church. And it's a very personal letter, but it is addressed to the entire congregation at Philippi. And as John mentioned last week, it was actually read out loud at the church and probably read to other churches in the surrounding area. I don't think anyone would ever accuse Paul of being a cheerleader or wasting anybody's time with unimportant messages. So I think it's important that we look at this one short paragraph this morning and find out what it has to say to us. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this church here, Westwood United Methodist Church. For some of you, I know it's the first time that you've been here, and we are so glad that you are here. You are so welcomed. Some of you have been here for many years. Recently, Sabrina, who's our minister partner, she helps us in our office, who is sick today, by the way, if you're missing her. Anyway, Sabrina and I went through old picture directories from the church. Now, I hope you're cringing right now, because some of them were 30 years old. It was really fun to see pictures of some of you, and you look really different. And the church, as well as you guys and me, we've changed. We look different. We feel different. We hopefully have learned something in our lives and matured. And it's not just our church that's different, but churches all over the world have changed from 30 years ago. Large mega churches grow stronger, and mainstream churches like ours are shrinking. Traditional services such as this one are declining in attendance, but newer, unique services like we have at the Loft are growing. I'm going to be completely honest with you when I tell you that we as staff spend many hours praying and reading and discussing the right road for our church. When I read the book of Philippians, and I have to ask you because Pastor John did last week, did any of you go home and read it? Four short chapters. I hope you, okay, I see some hands. John, yay, okay. When I read this book, I ask how can we as a worshiping community at Westwood be like the church at Philippi? How can we as a worshiping community at Westwood keep our church energized and growing for the kingdom of God? How can we as a church in 2017 overcome the adversity and the challenges and the roadblocks we face to fulfill what God wants us to be? Because I have no doubt God has expectations of the church. He has expectations of Westwood. And not just John or Chris or me are accountable to God. We all are. I think part of the answer is specifically laid out in this letter. Unlike the commencement speeches I read earlier that left you sort of hanging, okay, now what do I do? Wondering what to do next, Paul sets forth two specific things we are to do as members of the church community. First, live as God's people. Stand strong for Christ. And I'm going to push back at you just a little bit and ask you, are you doing this? Are you trying to find ways to show courage and unite together as a body of believers? Or are you allowing others to speak for you? Do you represent Christ in all you say and do? And when you do speak, do you ever reference the teachings of Jesus as the source of your opinions or convictions? In preparing this message, I came across the idea that in 2017, people are not interested in discussing theology or philosophy. What they are interested in is talking about this practical question: how do I live a good and honorable life? And I will add to that, I don't think that most people care whether they're Methodist, which is what this church is, or Presbyterian down the street. What I think they care about, and I will say it again, is how do I live a good and honorable life? And I asked myself, Kathy Cannon, And I ask you, are you living your life as an example to others? Do people see Jesus in you? Are you living as a person of God? And second, are we standing together as a team here in Westwood? Well, this one I take responsibility for. I think a team has to have something to do. We have to have a goal. We have to win the game. We have to build a bridge. And we at Westwood, and more specifically here in the sanctuary, don't really have a lot to do when it comes to being a team. Okay, we have great food events, and since I plan them, I think they're awesome. We know how to eat, we know how to cook, we know how to talk, we know how to have good times, and I think that is really important. Please don't think I don't. But we really don't have a lot of opportunities to engage in teamwork here as a congregation, and I think this is a weakness in our community, and it could be a risk to our church. Because if you come here to worship in the sanctuary and you're looking for a way to get involved and you don't sing, there aren't a lot of other activities that are open to you. Several weeks ago, John and I met with the lay leaders here in the sanctuary, and I told them that in the previous church I worked at, in the worship guide, I had a page, and it said ways to get involved. And it had all the opportunities to serve. And so everyone at the table thought, well, this is a really good idea. Let's do it here. And John and I came back and realized we didn't have anything to put on that page. That's on me. That's my responsibility. We have a lot of ministries in our church. But those ministries often are for a small group of people who've done it for a long time, or they require a specific set of skills that you may not have. Some of our ministries we know about, but some of them we have no idea that they're taking place. Because we've been doing them for so long, we think everyone knows, and yet we don't. I don't know how new people in our church can get involved with ministries unless they hook up with someone who happens to invite them to something that they're doing. And I think that's wrong. I think we need to be better at letting people know what's going on and inviting people to join us. And maybe they don't have the set of skills. I'm going to use a great example. Prayerful Stitches, they make prayer shawls, and we're going to have one tonight. I understand that if you don't know how to knit or you don't know how to crochet, that's okay. You can just go in there. They're going to teach you. How awesome is that? So you don't have to have a skill in order to join them. But other opportunities, we need to know what's going on. But I don't know what you want to do. I have no idea. And this is really bothering me and John. What would you like to be involved with? What ministries would you like to be involved with? What should we do as a church, as a team, to support our neighborhood, to support Westwood, to be ministers in Westwood? Now, sometimes that requires you guys to be involved with something that you don't want to be involved with. You know, you might look at something and say, I do not want to go to a Bible study. But maybe, just maybe, you're needed in that Bible study anyway. Maybe your participation will make other people join. I don't know. But I am asking you, please tell us. Think about this. What ministries do you think Westwood United Methodist Church should be involved with? What would you like to see? What could you commit to? And once again, I'm going to tell you, I'm not anyway saying you need to be here four nights a week, please. But I really encourage you to think about what talents God has given you, what God is calling you to do. It could be greeting people at our door, or ushering, or coming to the adult education class called follow-up, because the more there, the more robust it is. Or teaching our children, this is my plug, teaching our children weekly, or to helping us with vacation Bible school. It might be the kitchen ministry, or as I said, a Bible study or a small group. I don't know, but we want to know. And so please take a moment this week to think about that. This is our church, and we need direction from you. I think that's what a team is, communicating, developing ideas together, and working together. And you are called to ministry. Rest assured, you are called. Because Paul tells us in the scripture, God has blessed you in ways that serve Christ. The Holy Spirit has given you all gifts, you guys, and you need to return them back to others. I think we have a responsibility to use these gifts. And as Paul says, using them brings glory to God. So we are more than a commencement address. We are the church, a community of believers. We have a great opportunity to soar here at Westwood and to succeed in what God is asking us to be and to do. And of course, we have many obstacles facing us, as does the global church. But we have to rejoice in the knowledge that we are God's people. We are not alone in our adversity, and that standing together as a team, we can welcome tomorrow and strengthen our resolve. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.